You're with SBS Radio.
Nationally, it is reported that 31% of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people living in remote communities experience food insecurity. And what we know also from those reports is that compared to national statistics, so compared to non-Indigenous people across Australia, that's a prevalence of 4%. So there's quite a big difference in that. And for all Indigenous people across Australia, it's considered to be 22%. But obviously, you know, it's tricky with national statistics to always, you know, get great coverage. And certainly the government recognises that there's underestimation in some of this reporting. And so one of the pieces of work that we've done before was to use that government measure, and when we were working with people on another study, ask them exactly that same question. And so the results that we got asking that question in 5 remote communities in the Northern Territory was a higher rate of 62%. So it fits with that notion that there's potentially underreporting in those government statistics and that it could be higher. And that's a normal situation that it's good to understand more about what's going on. But as you said, we know a little bit more about the causes in remote communities, and that's what we're trying to address with people in this study.
Yeah, tell us about this study.
This is a 3-year study that we've designed in conjunction with 2 key health services in the Aboriginal remote community. So it's a Punapima Cape York Health Service in Cairns and Central Australian Aboriginal Congress in Alice Springs. And we've designed it with other leading research institutes as well. So what we'll be doing, there's kind of 2 phases to this study. So the first is that we're going to look at what happens when we discount healthy foods, and we're going to do this via a loyalty card within the stores, and that will hopefully promote the diet to a level that's internationally acceptable to be considered affordable for people in communities. And then what we'll do with that is we'll capture, with people's experiences of their lived experience of food insecurity and the solutions that they see. And together with community members, we'll analyse that data and come up with a plan that we can use to advocate for changes in services and policies for them.
Yeah, and how would the loyalty card work? Is it a card they use in a particular shop just for specific healthy foods, or they can use it for any food types of foods they feel like eating that day?
No. So it will be focused definitely on healthy food. And what we'll be doing is that we'll work with community members. So we want community members to have a say around what healthy foods they can purchase. We don't want to tell people what they can purchase. Yeah. But obviously we need the foods are healthy, and so it will be a mix of community members telling us what's important to them and of researchers and health organisations saying, well, these are the nutritious foods that we need to be choosing from. So that it'll only be healthy foods that will be discounted, and then we'll be able to assess the impact of that and the change on people's purchasing.
Now I grasp it. So the loyalty card, they can buy the food, but some foods, if they present the card, will give them some benefit of being able to take advantage of a discount.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll try and match it to urban food prices for those healthy foods that they've selected. And we imagine that being quite a range of healthy foods that people will choose from the community basis to be accessible on that card. But you're right, it will only be healthy foods that can that a discount can be applied to, but it will be set with community members.
So all of them will get the card, or the members of just these particular 2 organisations, the Cape York Health Council and the Congress?
We're working with those 2 health organisations, and the reason that we do that is health organisations really like to work together to learn from each other about applying these sorts of research studies in their areas. We're also doing it because the Punapima Cape York Health Council have a food security statement which says we need to, we're answering their call to action. They really need to see some change in this because they've been listening to what people say on the ground. So we've managed to get funding to work with 4 communities in Cape York and 4 communities in Central Australia. And the people that will be involved, we're very much focused on, we know that food insecurity is widespread, but to improve things for children, at the moment we're focusing on women, infants and children within that broader context of a family. So the people that will be eligible to participate in the study will be pregnant and breastfeeding women, and it will be the parents and carers of young children, and they'll be Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander residents in the communities that participate.
There are some forms of food insecurity. There's also issues of malnutrition.
Absolutely, you're right. So we see malnutrition in all its forms. So we see undernutrition, we see micronutrient deficiencies like anemia and overweight and obesity, which can lead to diet-related disease later on in life. And these are all a problem. If people are unable to access the right healthy food to feed their families, these are some of the problems that we see.
And your study also, there's some observation that you made that is quite pertinent there, that food insecurity leads to hunger, anxiety, poor health, including undernutrition, obesity and disease, and intergenerational poverty.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, obviously, it's those immediate things that people feel. So, of course, if you can't access all the food that you need in the day, you will feel hungry and we know that people can feel anxious about, you know, where they're going to be able to source enough food for their family. And also the other, you know, managing all the other household costs in relation to that as well. But certainly it can lead to those health consequences that we've talked about. And if kids don't get the best start in life, then there's that concern for the impact on future intergenerational poverty.
Yeah, because there's a magic number that's always given. The first 1,000 days are really crucial.
That's right. That's right. And that's why we're focusing on this particular period. We're not saying, we certainly know that there's other people that suffer from food insecurity, and we're hoping that we start to learn from this study and it might have broader effects on the population at large in these communities and on other remote communities in Australia.
Yeah. And when is this project starting? Is it already, has it started, or is it due to start sometime during this year or next year?
So it's we've just received notification that we've been awarded this study, which is fantastic. So this year is really the setup phase and engagement with communities, because we really want communities to understand more about this study and have some input into how it will run. And then the application of the discount will start from next year.
No, it's just raising awareness, and then you start the measurements from next year onwards.
That's right.
Okay, and the different phases, will be they, how are they articulated? How long is phase one and phase two?
So the first phase will take, because we'll take a staggered approach to make sure that we can support it running well in communities. So that will take most of the first year.
Yeah.
And phase two will take the first half of the third year. So we're talking about 2022 then. The most important thing is what we're really, really excited about here is that by working with these health organisations who are very much on the ground with community members and have listened to people to say this is a priority, we know that we're going to have a great opportunity to work with community residents to really hear what their solutions are. So we feel like this is a genuine opportunity to really consider what the best strategies will be that will meet their needs. So I think, you know, that's the most important thing that we're really celebrating in this study, is that it's brought together a lovely design of working with community members and with health organisations. And we're really looking forward to seeing what we can achieve and hopefully, you know, contributing to health equity across our nation.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.